Let's turn our Bibles to Daniel tonight, Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. We're continuing to look at examples of powerful prayer in the Word of God. This one I find kind of interesting. We're just going to look at Daniel, just the one tonight. Daniel chapter 9. Let's look at verse number 1. Read the first couple of verses there. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, and it goes on, we'll cover the prayer here in just a moment, but he read it, he understood some things, and he went to prayer. Now, we all know Dan, the setting of Daniel, he's in exile, and he had a long and effectual ministry there in captivity. But as he's reading the book of Jeremiah, and let's turn back to Jeremiah chapter 25. Keep your place there in Daniel. Obviously, we're coming back. But what was it that he was reading that caused him to pray? Daniel chapter 25. Let's start with verse number 9. Of course, Daniel and Jeremiah overlapped. Jeremiah would have been the older man, but he prophesied up until that final captivity of the southern kingdom of Judah. And Daniel was taken in one of the earlier captivities as a young man over to Babylon. But Jeremiah stayed in Judah, of course. And God is speaking to Jeremiah. And here's what Jeremiah said in verse number 9. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of the millstones and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. And so here God told Jeremiah the length of the captivity. And now as we fast forward to Daniel chapter number 9, it's just about 70 years after the final captivity, after Jerusalem was destroyed. And Daniel knew how to do his math, and he knew that time was drawing to an end. And so as he's studying the Word of God in the book of Jeremiah, and he sees that, he immediately goes to prayer. Now, jump down in Daniel chapter number 9 to verse number 20. Verse number 20. This is what stops him from praying. It starts out in verse number 20 of Daniel chapter 9. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Then he proceeds to tell Daniel about this prophecy of the end times. And perhaps one of the, other than the messianic prophecies, one of the most important prophecies in all of Scripture. If we understand this prophecy here in Daniel chapter number 9, all of our eschatology falls into place. But when we skew that chapter up, it messes everything up in eschatology. And so a very important thing that Daniel was informed here that God then recorded for us. But it's interesting that as Daniel's reading the book of Jeremiah, he comes to that place, 70 years, and you'll be sent back to the promised land, sent back to Israel. And Daniel understood the 70 years were almost there. He prays, God gives then, as a result of his prayer, understanding in the Word of God. Did you ever scratch your head over Bible passages and Scripture and wonder, what in the world is God trying to say here? Well, God says, here's a way to find those answers. This is powerful prayer because this book isn't like any other book. This book is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a living book. And so the Holy Spirit is the one that we're dependent on. Daniel did not apparently possess the Holy Spirit of God. And so God sent an angel to tell Daniel what the Scriptures meant, to explain his word to him. We don't need angels coming to us today. In fact, if an angel were to come, you ought to question whether that's a faithful angel or a fallen angel, because the demons certainly know the Bible better than we do. They've had all this time to study it. And so they know God's plan, and they know what God's Word says, and they're experts at distorting it and twisting it and changing it so that we think it says exactly the opposite of what it says. And so we have that more sure word of prophecy, as it tells in the New Testament. And that's this book that's written and recorded for us. We can trust this book beyond all things. I was reading a missionary letter, a missionary that we support. I won't tell you which one, but it made reference to the Scriptures, and it put a little S to start off the word Scriptures. And that is something that just like, it's worse than taking your hands or your fingernails and scratching a chalkboard. Think about what irritates you the most. When I see the word Scriptures referring to the Bible with a little S, it's worse than that to me. Because what they're saying is that it's on the same level as everything else. As the Book of Mormon, as the Quran, as the Hindu Vedas, and this book is not. It's different. This is the very Word of God in heaven, and therefore it should be capitalized on every account because it's faithful and it's true. And that's the whole point of this whole chapter in Daniel chapter 9, that God was faithful to His Word. He kept all of His promises in the past, and He'll keep His promises in the future. And so as Daniel was told, 70 years, they could be assured here in Daniel chapter 9 that 70 years and they would be going back home if they wanted that opportunity. And so we have the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. We don't need an angel. And the Holy Spirit will help us if we'll go in prayer. But notice Daniel's prayer. It's a little bit more than what we normally pray, isn't it? In verse number 3, he says, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And so when's the last time we went to God fasting because we wanted an answer from God? We might do it in important situations in our lives when we need an answer that comes from God. But how often have we, or have we ever, just because we want to understand God's Word better, have we gone to God in prayer and fasting? But his prayer is really interesting because you remember as we read there at the end of the chapter there in Daniel chapter 9, as Gabriel comes, he tells them what the Word of God meant. But it's interesting that Daniel doesn't really ask that on the surface. He starts his prayer off in verse number 4. In Daniel chapter 9, verse number 4, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Here, what we have is Daniel starts off with worship and praise to Almighty God. He mentions how powerful God is, great and dreadful. We usually understand that word dreadful in a negative sense, that this is something that is terrible. It's something that we should be afraid of. But God is using, or Daniel's using it here in the sense that God is almighty, that God is great, that God can do things that amaze us and amaze us to the point that we have that healthy fear of God. And so Daniel is submitting to the power of God. And then he talks about God and the fact that he always keeps his word when he says, talks about the covenant there. And Daniel's going to refer more to that in the prayer. And that's a key to how Daniel prays here. And it should help us understand that God's word is ever faithful. And then he appeals to the mercy of God. Aren't you glad God is merciful? None of us would be seated here this evening if it weren't for the mercy of God. And so he begins with worship. Then he goes to confession. And the bulk of his prayer is all about confession. And this is important to understand because so many Christians struggle with the difficulties in their life. And they wonder, why has God allowed this in my life? And I think for many of them, the answer can be found right here in this passage of Scripture. And it's not what they want to hear. They're going to say, that's not right. That's not what it says. That's what they're going to say. But that's not the case if we just simply look at what the Scriptures plainly say. The first thing he says in verse number 5 is that they have disobeyed the word of God. In verse number 5, he says, we have sinned and committed iniquity and done wickedly and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. And so the words precept and judgment are a reference to the Old Testament Scriptures. As Daniel looked at his nation and its history, he understood what they had done as they allowed idolatry to enter in, and as they kicked God out, and as they didn't worship God according to the mandates of his word. He understood that we have disobeyed the word of God. And if we disobey the word of God, then we are sinners, and if we're sinners, we ought to expect punishment. That's what Daniel's saying. And then in verse number 6, he says, not only did we disobey the word of God, but we disowned God's preachers. They disowned God's preachers. In verse number 6, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and all the people of the land. God sent prophets throughout the land, and we understand Daniel was one of those men, and there were obviously many that weren't writing prophets. They were just preaching prophets. And, they had the schools of the prophet back in the days of Elijah and Elisha. And so the land was filled with prophets that would go about preaching the word of God, warning them to return to God. And they got tired of hearing it, didn't they? They just tuned them out and went their own way. And it's no wonder they had the judgment brought on them that they did. That judgment included the captivity and the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And so they disobeyed God's word. They disowned God's preachers. Verse number 7 and 8. Now here's where it's really telling. Because we know what Israel was like. I'm assuming you're familiar with the book of Nehemiah. When Nehemiah's brothers came over and visited him, and he asked them how things were going, and he said, the place is just a pile of rubble, and we're being persecuted, and we're just not given a fair deal. And so that's what the land was like. And that's after they went back and cleaned it up a little bit. And so they were experiencing a difficult situation. Is Daniel going to blame God? He said, God, why did you allow this in my life? Why did you let this come upon our country? Were you unkind? Were you sleeping? Were you looking the other way? Did you get distracted? What happened? God, it's all your fault. You know, that's the way the average Christian responds to God during times of difficulty. But here's what Daniel says in verses 7 and 8. O Lord, what's that next word? Righteousness. What is righteousness if we were to define it? What does it mean? It's a very simple definition. Okay, living the way God wants us to, that's correct. But when it's referred to God, it have a little bit different definition to it. And a more simplistic definition. Amy? Sinlessness? You guys are running around the bush, but I want the bush. Always doing what's right. See, very simple. just simply doing what's right. Daniel understood, God, it's not your fault. God, you didn't do this to us. Well, he did, but God, it's not your fault. You only do that which is right. You see, if God didn't judge Israel, he would have been unfaithful to his word. And that's what Daniel's going to arrive at. And that's what Daniel understood. And that's why Daniel is such a great man of God and why he was used by God as he was. I mean, think about some of the things that happened in Daniel's life. Being taken captivity as a child and being forced into service for his captors to benefit their country. We don't know if he saw his parents slaughtered in the invasion or not. But it couldn't have been easy. Certainly, he was at the least separated from his parents for the rest of his life. I personally believe, and you can disagree with you want, this is just the way I take the historical account, is that they died. And so here he is, all alone in Babylon with just his friends, and he has to struggle in the palace because he doesn't want to eat the meat that was sacrificed to the idols, the king's meat. And so he ate salads and vegetable soup, meatless vegetable soup. Doesn't get any worse than that. Some of you like that food. I personally, if it doesn't have meat, don't waste my time. That's my attitude. But I know not everybody's like me. Some people like to eat healthy, and good for them. They'll probably live a lot longer than me. But anyway, he sacrificed the very best, and he put his life on the line in doing that. And think about when they made the law to get rid of him, that you can't pray to anyone except the king. Daniel wasn't fazed, was he? He didn't hesitate. He continued to pray, and he was thrown where? In the den of lions. Imagine that. Hands-on, that's what they call the kids' museums, hands-on exhibits. Well, Daniel went to a hands-on petting zoo, didn't he? Only they weren't sheep and goats and cows. They were lions that were ferocious. And they were hungry because as soon as Daniel got out and they threw the conspirators in, they didn't even make it to the floor of the prison before the lions had them. And so God worked a miracle, but through it all, you don't see a hint of bitterness, do you? You don't see a hint of blaming God. He calls God, O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee. So you don't do anything wrong. We may not understand it. We may not enjoy it. But everything you do is right. Boy, we need to get a hold of that, don't we? We see things twisting and turning in our country and just a lawless society. I'm sure you all know by now another attempt on our president, apparently. Just utter lawlessness and the hatred and just the issues that are going on, the separation. And we know that things aren't going well for those that want to worship Christianity biblically in our nation. I get a letter from the Christian Law Association, and people want to be able to just worship God, and so many times they're not allowed to do so by their employer. Their government tries to keep them from going door to door. It's our legal right. It's been won in the Supreme Court and proven that we have that right, and yet they still want to stop us. They try to stop kids from carrying their Bibles to school or inviting their friends at school to church. They can't do that. It's our legal right. They try to make kids turn any T-shirt that has a religious message inside out. First, they tell them to go home and change. When they won't do that, they make them turn it inside out. It's going against Christianity. And that's just a scratching the surface. That's the good part. What about going into the ladies' room and seeing a man there? You go to Planet Fitness, if you object, if you're a lady and you object to having a man in your locker room that wants to watch you change, they're going to kick you out. Not him. He's right, you're wrong. Anti-Christian society. And we scratch our head and say, God, where'd you go? God, how can you let this happen? God, are you sleeping? Or are you still awake up there? That's where Daniel is. And Daniel has the attitude, God always does everything right. And Daniel lived for God in these circumstances, just like the Apostle Paul did in just as bad a situation in the Roman Empire and all those that we read of in the New Testament. God is righteous. He goes on to say in verse number 7, but unto us, confusion of faces. They didn't understand. And it goes back in Israel's history and through the captivity to where Daniel was. They just didn't understand. It makes reference at the end of verse number 7 about them going into captivity in the nations or through all the countries where thou hast driven them. Again in verse number 8, O Lord, to us belong confusion of face. Verse number 9, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Now he's changing subject. He started out in verse 5 in his prayer of confession that they disobeyed the word, they disowned the preachers. Then he makes reference to their dilemma and realizes their own doing. Now he says, we disregarded God's warning. If you read in the Old Testament and in the Pentateuch, you see that God lays it out exactly what was going to happen in Israel's history. He says, if you turn from me and go into idolatry, I will destroy this city and send you into captivity. God told them exactly what would happen. He told them what they had to do in order to make that happen. God doesn't make empty threats or idle threats, does he? He means what he says. And they did exactly what he told them not to do, and so he kept his word. They ought not have been in confusion. They ought to have understood and responded with repentance, but that's not what happened. And so they disregard the warnings of God. Look in verse number 12. Well, let's read verse 11. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath, now these are important words, he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us by bringing upon us this great evil. He's saying God just did what he said he would do. So why are we mad at God about it? And so many Christians want to have nothing but the blessings of God in their life, but they don't want to live for God. And so they never come to church. They never read their Bibles. They don't ever pray. They live a very worldly lifestyle. And they think God's going to bless them. And when he doesn't, when he does what he said he would do in his word, they whine and they cry and they blame God. Don't blame God. He's just doing what he said he would do. If we don't take the time to find out what God says, it's not God's fault. He gave us every opportunity to know what he said. He gave us the word of God. We have the word of God as no other nation has ever had. Now, how many Bibles do you have in your house? And we all have. Does anyone only have one copy of the Bible? Anybody at all? Only one. And that's my point. Look at the opportunities we have. And so, not only did he give us copies of his word, as I mentioned earlier, he gave us the Holy Spirit of God to help us understand it. And so, don't disregard God's warnings. But they were determined to ignore God. And Daniel references this. This is his confession, which followed his worship. In verses 13 and 14, it says, as is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. What Daniel's saying is we had opportunity and we squandered it. We could have asked for forgiveness and avoided all of this mess, but we chose to follow our own path and we chose to just simply ignore God. And so his supplication begins in verse 16. He basically asked for two things. In 16 and 19, he asks forgiveness for himself and for the nation. But then he asks for the rebuilding of the temple in verses 17 and 18. Let's look at 17 and 18. He says, "Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and the supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate. For the Lord's sake, O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations in the city which is called by thy name. For we do present our supplications before thee for our righteousness." Or not for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. And so he's asking for the rebuilding of the temple. Now, that happened. We have the decree recorded for us at the end of 2 Chronicles. In fact, this is a Bible trivia question. What book starts with the exact words that the previous book ends? That would be Ezra. Ezra begins with the words that 2 Chronicles ends with. And it's the decree to go back and rebuild the temple. So God answered Daniel's prayer, and that's the powerful prayer. It's not the understanding God's word, but it's the rebuilding of the temple, that God's mercies are new, that God is restoring them. It's essentially a prayer for revival. And that's what our nation needs. That's what our churches need. And I think that's what we as individuals need. That's an example of a powerful prayer, because revival doesn't happen by us conjuring it up or getting worked up into a fervor or bringing in loud music and working ourselves up into an emotional state. Revival happens from the Holy Spirit of God grabbing a hold of our heart and us yielding it to Him. It's a work of God, and it's a work of God's mercy. And so we want to have powerful prayer, and if we would study Daniel's prayers, we would find Daniel's secret, which is no secret, of answered prayer. And so hopefully this is helpful for you tonight. I know it was a blessing to me. I hope I communicate at least some of that. But what a wonderful prayer that Daniel prays and God answers. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for hearing and answering prayer. Thank you for always being righteous. Help us just simply to trust, even when we don't understand and even when we're confused. Father, just help us to yield and to follow. For your glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.